to now turn to our God in prayer and ask for his blessing on his word. Let's pray. Oh God, our Savior, as you have drawn us together today in your holy presence by the power of your Spirit, let us recount the wonder of your saving deeds. Let us remember your mighty acts. Let us recount for our children and our children's children the great deliverance that you have brought to us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And let us know the awfulness of our sin, that we might also know the wonder and the glory of our Savior. May we, throughout this day of holy rest, meditate on the beauty and the glory of our salvation in Jesus. Bless your word to us now. Lord, as we see again the wonder of who you are as our God, as we see another attribute, as we learn more of your character, bless your servant who proclaims that word. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, please take your Psalter hymnal and turn to the back of it, if you would, and we'll read from Article 1 of the Belgic Confession, found on page 70 at the back of the Psalter hymnal. Article 1. There is only one God, is what it's entitled. And this will be the last of our series here through the attributes of God. Article 1 says, "We all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only simple and spiritual being which we call God, and that he is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good." Let's also turn to God's word now to Psalm 145. Psalm 145. So we'll be focusing our attention on this particular psalm as we see that in relation to God's goodness, as outlined in our Belgic Confession. Psalm 145, which you'll find on page 721, the beginning of it, and in the following pages. Psalm 145. Hear now God's holy word. A psalm of David. "I will extol you, my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you, and I will praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall praise your works to another, and shall declare your mighty acts. I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty, and on your wondrous works. Men shall speak of the might of your awesome acts, and I will declare your greatness. They shall utter the memory of your great goodness, and shall sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and great in mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord, and your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and talk of your power, to make known to the sons of men his mighty acts and the glorious majesty of his kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear him. He also will hear their cry and save them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. And that concludes the reading of God's word. May he bless that in our hearing this afternoon. I'll encourage you to have Psalm 145 open before you, so we'll be looking at that together. Psalm 145. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, God is good. What do we mean when we say that? Good is a common expression that is used without a lot of thinking. We ask our son or daughter how the soccer game went, and they say, good. If we're at the home improvement store on our way out, the cashier might say to us, have a good weekend. What is meant by that? Have a good weekend. Well, that could mean many things. If it serves a certain purpose or value for yourself, a good weekend can be considered a time of escape from the reality of life by partying. Often when that is said, it doesn't have any reference to enjoying the weekend the way that the Lord would want you to. You reveal a lot about yourself when you talk about what is good. You see, the term good is never something that is independent or on its own. It's dependent for its meaning on the reason we use the word and on our values and morals. So it varies from person to person how you use that term. Yet according to Scripture, God is the sum total of perfection. All virtues are found in him in the absolute sense. That's what Jesus meant when he said to the young ruler, you may remember that one time where he met with the young ruler in the Gospels, why do you call me good? No one is good except God. God is good in himself. He is, as we confessed in the Belgic Confession, the overflowing fountain of all good. And that's why we turn to Psalm 145, because it celebrates God's goodness. Each generation is called to praise him for his works. Every day we're called to bless the Lord. And that word bless in the Hebrew shares the common root for kneel. Thus, to bless God would also mean to submit to him, to bow down to him. We bless his name for all that he is, for all of his character. In fact, much of this psalm is really a summary of all the different attributes that we have looked at in these past weeks and months. He is infinite. He is eternal. He is incomprehensible. His greatness is unsearchable, as this psalm says, meaning it's beyond measure. It's infinitely great. It's impossible to measure his greatness. No matter how much we come to know and appreciate his greatness, we still haven't grasped it. So says the psalmist. So in a word, the Lord's greatness is overwhelming. Therefore, as we conclude our series on Article 1 of the Belgic Confession, consider Psalm 145 under the theme, Recounting God's Goodness. Recounting God's goodness. And we'll look at this with 3 points. First of all, the Lord is gracious. Secondly, the Lord is faithful. And thirdly, the Lord is righteous. So first of all, the Lord is gracious. David praises God for his greatness in this area of compassion. It's compassion that he has in mind here. Verse 8 shows this. His mercy to us is in forgiving our sins. So it says there, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. This is almost a direct quote from a passage in the Old Testament, from Exodus chapter 34. In Exodus 34, we have recorded there a time after the Israelites had received the Ten Commandments from God's mouth. When Moses was up on the mountain receiving the commands of the Lord, the people had grown impatient, as you may remember, and they made themselves a golden calf and worshipped it. They were punished for that with a plague, and 3,000 were struck down by the sword. Moses was discouraged that the people fell into the sin only days after receiving the law. He wasn't sure anymore if he could continue. He wasn't sure if God would remain with the people to bless them and guide them. And so he makes this bold request, saying to the Lord, "I beseech you, show me your glory." And do you remember the Lord's response? So the Lord heard this request of Moses. He revealed a part of his greatness to Moses, his compassion. The Lord would not let Moses see his face, but he put him in the cleft of the rock, and he allowed him a glimpse of him, and God said to him, "I will make my goodness pass by you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you." And that's how God revealed himself. He revealed his goodness. We read in the next chapter, chapter 34 of Exodus, as the Lord passed by him, he said these famous words in Scripture, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. This was a revelation that God is compassionate and merciful. God's glory is that he is slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. The people had sinned. They had sinned grievously. They had forsaken God and went back to the paganism of Egypt. And God showed his mercy to Moses, the glory of his compassion and grace and mercy. And in showing his mercy in the midst of sin, God was displaying his greatness. His compassion and his mercy are so astonishingly great. And it's that compassion he shows to us who are repentant and believe in his name. He has shown us his mercy. The word mercy is the word hesed in the Hebrew, a word in the Old Testament found both in Psalm 145 and in that Exodus 34 passage. It's such a rich word. It's God's covenant faithfulness. His faithfulness to his covenant people. He by no means excuses sin, but he in his kindness and goodness pardons the iniquity of his saints. And he does that for you. How does he do that for you? He does that by giving you his Son, Jesus Christ. God proved his love to us in him by giving his Son to us as a gift. Even though we did not love him, he loved us. We see his goodness in the face of man's sin and wickedness, as he was willing to give up the punishment of Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people. You remember that in the book of Genesis? Time after time, during the wilderness journey, the people of Israel showed themselves to be a wicked and stiff-necked people. Think of the golden calf. and the murmuring about water and manna and quail, the rebellion after the report of the spies, the jealous whispers against Moses, and so on. Sin after sin, and yet God was willing to forgive those who repented and believed in Him. He forgave wicked Nineveh, the enemy of His people, when the people and the king of that city repented. His compassion and His mercy are so astonishingly great. What God did for Israel, what God did for Moses, and what God did here for David, for all His saints, was to show His mercy. And it is that mercy He has shown to you and to His saints. It's His mercy that He wants to show to any one of you who are not repentant. Those of you who do not believe, know that He will not clear the guilty. But also know that He desires His mercy, to show mercy. He desires to show compassion. May we always rejoice in God's salvation to us. So that's what verse 8 brings out. Verse 9 of the psalm also brings out this. God shows His goodness to all His creatures. It says there, "The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works." Think of all these things that He does for all His works. And then think of what He has done for you. He's given life, breath. Every breath that you take is because of His goodness. He's given you a living soul, a redeemed soul in Jesus Christ. He's given you family. He's given you homes with all the comforts of life. How often we take that for granted. The blessing of life itself, for the way that He sustains our very lives. The Lord knows you. He knows your concerns in this life. How difficult it is to be a widower or to be a widow. To be alone without a spouse. Without the one that you spent most of your life. He knows this. It's very painful and leads to great heartache. But God is good to all. Good to all His works and good to us. He's good to us, His people, in providing for those who are alone. His word's very clear that He has a great concern for the widower and the fatherless. He always has. And when you're trying to take all the burdens on your own shoulders, what are you to do? You're to turn to the Lord in prayer with those. Speak to Him about your concerns. At times, when you feel alone, look to Him. Know that the Lord is on your side and that He will never allow you to be shaken. It's a small thing for Him to assist you. So we see God's compassion here, His mercy, His grace, so clearly brought out here as an extension of His goodness to us. It leads us to what we see here secondly within this psalm, and that is that the Lord is faithful. And His faithfulness is especially brought out in verses 13 to 20. There are four ways that are described here in how He provides for His creation. He helps those who are weak and inadequate. Verse 14 says, "The Lord upholds all who fall and raises up all who are bowed down. He gives food to all his creatures." Verses 15 and 16 say, "The eyes of all look expectantly to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and satisfy the desire of every living thing." And then He also answers those who pray to Him. Verses 18 and 19 say that. "The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He also will hear their cry and save them." And furthermore, he protects those who are his. Verse 20 brings that out. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. How does God demonstrate his faithfulness? He does it by fulfilling his promises and by caring for his creation. He fulfills his promises so that when we fall, he lifts us up. When our sins overwhelm us, when Satan seeks to carry us away, when our enemies oppress us, God is there to support. He doesn't promise to keep us from evil days. He promises to keep us when the evil days come. And when we're in distress, he restores us. When we're hungry, he feeds us. When we come to him with open hands, empty and held out, he satisfies us with good things. He does this for human beings, of course. What the psalmist seems to be thinking of here most is of God's faithfulness to all his creatures. Think for a moment of his goodness to his creatures. He made a covenant with the day and a covenant with the night, Jeremiah says. We're so busy sometimes with our concerns and troubles and worries that we don't even take notice of this. How often we get up in the morning and take it for granted that the sun will rise and that it will set at the end of the day. That God has ordained the seasons. As Genesis chapter 8, verse 22 says, while the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, day and night shall not cease. Consider also the heavens, the work of God's fingers, the vastness of the planets and the stars. And yet earth is the only planet that can sustain plant life, animal life, and human life. God made this for us to live on, to be his rulers over his perfect creation. And yet you can't help but be very thankful that God shows his goodness to his creatures and to us. The psalmist says, what is man that you're mindful of him, and the son of man that you care for him? Consider the variety of ways that God provides for every creature that he has made. He's made plants of every kind for both man and animal to eat. Think of all the animals on the earth. Ever thought about how many heads of cattle there are on the face of the earth and how the Lord feeds them? A cattle on 1,000 hills are mine, he says. And yet they're just one type of animal that grazes. Think of the number of people and animals presently living on the earth, and yet there's never an enormous, overwhelming concern, for food shortage. There's never an enormous, overwhelming concern for food shortage. I know all the birds of the mountains, says the Lord, and the wild beasts of the forest are mine. The Lord knows them, brothers and sisters, and provides for them. And he provides for us as well. It's actually a wonderful repetition that we find within this psalm and these last verses. And maybe you noticed it as we were reading it earlier. It's repeated 11 times, especially in the second half of the psalm. And it's the word all. The Lord is good to all. And his tender mercies are over all his works. All your works shall praise you, O Lord. The Lord upholds all who fall. He raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look expectantly to you. The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The Lord preserves all who love him. All flesh shall bless his holy name. Because the Lord is good to all ought to praise him. As the end of Psalm 150 says, the very last psalm in the Psalter, Psalm 150, verse 6, let everyone that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God is faithful. In showing his goodness, he is faithful. And that leads us to what we see here lastly, and that is that the Lord is righteous. We see that in verse 17 where it refers to God being righteous. Verse 17 says again, the Lord is righteous in all his ways, gracious in all his works. And here the word righteous does not mean morally upright, though God certainly is righteous in that sense. There's no question about that in Scripture, that that is what the Bible says about him. He is the true source of morality. But here it means that God is just. God is just like that attribute that we looked at last week, last Sunday. God is just. Like Psalm 99, verse 4 says, the Lord's strength, or the king's strength, also loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Psalm 99:4. Or Psalm 89, verse 14, it says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Mercy and truth go before your face. God is just. And the meaning of this is that God is just to those who have needs and call on him, those who are in peril and seek salvation. Like verse 18 of the psalm says, God is near to those who call on him. He answers our prayers. Have you seen how the Lord has answered your prayers, congregation? Has the Lord answered your prayers last week? Or your prayers of a month ago or two? Or your prayers of several years ago? Or prayers in your entire life? God is near to you when you call on him in faith. Verse 19 says that he fulfills the desires of them and saves them. And verse 20 quickly adds, the Lord watches over them. In other words, the Lord is good. He's caring and saving throughout our entire lives. He has been just. He has been righteous to us. He keeps all those who love him. But that's not the case for everyone. Not everyone can say this. Note here the personal nature of the psalm. His protection and care is for those who love him. It's for those who love him. They devote their lives to him with affection. However, that's not true of those who are evil, who don't love the Lord, as the way that the psalm ends speaks about that. Verse 20, but all the wicked he will destroy. The question is, can you see how God, how good God is? We have an awesome picture of the Lord here. Every good thing which we and all creatures enjoy in the present and expect in the future flow from him. He doesn't receive anything. He only gives. Everything is dependent on him. He does everything with a view to himself. Everything that we experience as his creatures is the outworking of his goodness. Herman Bovink, the Dutch theologian who we've quoted from occasionally, says this. He says, God does everything with a view to himself because he cannot rest in anything less than himself. As he is himself, the absolute good, absolutely good, the perfect one, he cannot and may not love anything less except with a view to himself. He cannot and may not be satisfied with anything less than absolute perfection. And when he loves others, this is Herman Bovink still saying this, when he loves others, he loves himself in them. His own virtues, works, gifts. Hence, He is absolutely blessed in himself, the sum total of all goodness and of all perfection. And that leads us to a response. How do we respond to his goodness? Well, the psalm tells us what our response ought to be. Verse 4 says, "One generation shall praise your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts." God's works are the ways which he saved his people. Each generation is called to tell their children and their children's children how the Lord has saved them by his works. It's our responsibility to tell this to our covenant children so that each generation will have faith in their king and teach the same to the next generation. In the Old Testament, each generation was to speak of the Lord's works in their midst and how he brought them out of a kingdom of slavery or darkness to a promised kingdom of salvation or a kingdom of light. And it was in this way that each generation praised the Lord. And also it was in this way that the Lord made a people for himself. And that's a practice that must continue to today. As our covenant children are instructed about God's works of salvation for them, they too hear about the works of God. They are to be given the full picture of salvation. They're to hear of how their king saved them by dying on the cross for their sake. And they also should hear that in order to belong to the kingdom, they have to be born again. They're sinners in need of grace. We have to ask ourselves, will our children be able to praise the king for eternity? Will generation after generation declare God's works in mighty acts? May the Lord grant that. But then as Christians, as Christian parents, we're to challenge our children to believe in these works and to put their faith in the Lord. Then they too can claim the works of God in them and praise him. Because you can see how personal this psalm is. David does not only talk about how others will praise God's works. He also makes this a personal praise. Verse 5 of Psalm 145 says, "I will meditate on the glorious splendor of your majesty and on all your wondrous works." It's a personal praise of God's works. The psalmist had seen the faithfulness of God working in him. He too thought about God's mighty power in his life. You think of how the Lord worked through someone like David in a powerful way. He could see the Lord was at work in his behalf through the seemingly ordinary activities in life. And what a testimony that is, to speak of God's wondrous works in life. Can you do that today? Do you thank God for his riches shown to you? Do you meditate on the goodness of your God? Are you daily praising the Lord in worship through prayer, through a life kept pure from the world and from sin? Has the glory of your majestic King, Jesus Christ, move you to praise his name for his unsearchable greatness? Can you say that you know of the great mystery of the Lord and that he has shown his loving kindness by taking away your sin? Consider that it is impossible to praise the Lord without meditating on his wondrous works. We ourselves haven't witnessed the great miracles and wonders that God performed in the past. We haven't seen the Red Sea crossing, nor have we seen the miracles and signs of Christ in person as they're recorded in the Gospels. We can regularly read through the Bible and see how God worked wonders, and we can remind ourselves that the same God who performed these mighty acts still reigns and rules over all his creation And he's still working on our behalf today. The same God who brought Israel on dry ground to the Red Sea looks after us in the ordinary events of this life. He does that by making sure we've got enough money to pay our bills, or by helping us through surgery, or providing a job for us. God's at work on our behalf, carrying out his plans for us, and we surely ought to praise him for his works. Let us therefore, with every generation of God's church, recount God's goodness and remember how awesome our God is, and let us utter the memory of God's great compassion, faithfulness, and kindness, and thanks to Jesus Christ, who's taken away our sins. Amen. Let's pray. Our gracious Father in heaven, Lord, as we draw near to you this afternoon, we thank you for the way that this psalm presents you to us in all of your greatness, in your goodness and power. We thank you that you are the same God who David knew and wrote about, the same God who revealed yourself to Moses in the burning bush, and when he was hid in the cleft of the rock and you passed by. Lord, you are the same God who has shown your goodness to us. Indeed, we can say today that you are good and the overflowing fountain of all goodness, as all creatures look to you, as all depend upon you, both mankind, but also creatures in this world. We thank you for your faithfulness to us time and again, and that we can depend upon you in every way. Grant to us, O God, the strength that we need, and grant to us the help that we need in this life, because we know that we are inadequate, we are weak. Lord, we are needy. We come to you, O Lord, with open hands time and again. And yet we've seen how you have answered those prayers in small ways and big ways. And so, Father, we commit ourselves to you again. Hear our prayer. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.